This is the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Dr. Galen Morgan with Cotton Incorporated. We'll talk cotton in just a moment. First off, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul on what happens with tax cuts.
We've been debating this since the era of Ronald Reagan. When we cut the tax rates in 2017, guess what? Revenue went up. There is no debate about this. The facts are in. Cutting tax rates did not lose and cause the deficit to get worse. Cutting tax rates actually created economic growth and more revenue came in. So the opposite happens a lot of times when you raise taxes. If you raise the tax rates on corporations, you'll get less productivity and less revenue. So we need to have this debate in a full-throated way, but the Democrats still can't admit that cutting taxes actually increases revenue because it increases economic growth.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dr. Galen Morgan. Galen is with Cotton Incorporated, serves as Director of Ag Research. And Galen, as we start our conversation, if we would have talked a month ago, which was a little over a month when we talked, it was very dry, drought conditions across the majority of the western part of the U.S. Since then, we've seen a little rainfall, but instead of starting with those areas that have seen rainfall, you've seen some of the cotton crop in person across the belt. What have you seen?
Yeah, Tony, I was in South Carolina and Alabama and Mississippi 2 weeks ago, and especially the eastern part of the cotton belt, so that South Carolina and Georgia and Alabama, they were actually quite dry, but they caught some rain, you know, right as actually when I was out there. So those guys, a lot of the cotton was anywhere from, you know, really probably 2 leaf to, you know, maybe 4 to 6 leaf. So that rain that they got is going to carry it, you know, quite a ways. I was glad to see a lot of those folks out there have, you know, gone to reduce tillage and cover crop system, which I think, you know, is really good for that area. The Mississippi Delta region's been quite wet this year, and it rained more when I was out there 2 weeks ago. But they are, I think they're maybe, you know, a little bit behind, but overall they had good stands, and I think the vast majority of the crop was planted. And then last week I was in, the upper Gulf Coast region of Texas, and just looked at some of that, and, you know, that's usually a very wet area of the state. And they were actually quite dry down there. They'd caught a rain shower not too long before, but there were still some pretty good cracks in the ground down there. But, you know, they can store a lot of moisture as well on those heavy clay soils. But they're optimistic. The cotton down there was, you know, at least what I looked at, was just close to about first bloom stage. And coming up through the Brazos bottom, driving through there, it was cotton literally from just emerging all the way to probably, you know, first flower into Brazos bottom, which is, you know, usually it's pretty uniform through there, but not this year. And then this week, Monday, I guess I was in the Blacklands north of Waco, and, you know, the cotton there's pretty variable as well, but they had just caught a pretty good rain, and they're pretty optimistic about their cotton crop now when they were pretty pessimistic just a couple weeks ago. So overall, things have definitely, the overall attitudes have definitely increased, and I'm glad you guys have caught some rain out in West Texas as well.
Well, let's go there, because that is right now the largest contiguous cotton patch when they've got it all in the ground, and Mother Nature's helping out. We've seen anywhere from about an inch to 3-4 inches of rainfall over the last couple of weeks for many of those areas, and obviously it varies from place to place. But as we see this cotton emerge, we're also seeing the weeds come along. How important is early season, and I say early season, weed management here?
Yeah, and, you know, the folks up there, Pete Dautre and others, do a really good job hammering home many of these points. But that, as we know, cotton's not a super strong starter to begin with. So we really need to keep those weeds at bay, especially early season. I know just due to people trying to minimize inputs and also not knowing what the rainfall is going to do here forward. People are maybe a little bit apprehensive about residuals and putting those out there because you do have to have that rain to activate it. But, you know, under irrigation, if they can get those residual herbicides out there to prevent additional flushes, you know, that's huge. With post-emergence programs, I know a lot of the herbicides are kind of hard to get their hands on and may not have a whole lot of flexibility in what they're applying. But definitely keep in the back of their mind, we need to rotate, you know, modes of action as much as we can. And because I've heard, you know, at least some potential, you know, even dicamba resistance in various parts of the cotton belt. And I wouldn't doubt that, you know, that could be the case in West Texas as well. And, you know, that's the other thing is just, you know, if we can manage these weeds with herbicides, that's probably usually better. So we're not disturbing that soil and bringing kind of new seeds, weed seeds up to the top. So, and again, conserving the moisture, limited moisture that you guys do have out there. So those are just some really vague things, but you know, there's y'all got a lot of experts out there that know the local situation and can provide some specifics on, you know, herbicides and which programs are working best.
We have seen that cotton belt move to the north. And when I say to the north, I'm talking about the High Plains region. Don't guess we've developed varieties that work well for North or South Dakota yet, but we do know that there's obviously cotton in Oklahoma, Kansas. We tried some in Nebraska and Colorado, but for some of those who are maybe growing cotton that haven't been growing cotton for 10, 20 years or more, what are some things to keep in mind as they move throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, I met Tony, and a lot of the season, you know, is dictated as to when the guys can even get it started, and especially dryland folks. And so, you know, if you're starting a little bit behind the eight ball due to not having planting moisture, it's even more important to make sure you got varieties that are as, you know, short season varieties. If you're talking about that northern tier cotton production region, such as the Panhandle and Kansas. And parts of Oklahoma as well. So variety selection is obviously key. A lot of those decisions have been made. But if you're getting pushed off, you know, considerably later than you thought you'd be planting and seeds available, it's probably worth trying to get as early maturing varieties as you can. And then another thing is just staying on top of, you know, protecting basically every fruit that you have out there. So managing insects early. To make sure you're not losing any of those fruiting positions, and setting fruit as early as you possibly can, not over applying nitrogen, because that can also delay maturity. And then depending on whether you're dry land or irrigated and rain situations moving forward, it's just, yeah, you know, you can help manage maturity to some degree with plant growth regulators, in addition to it helping with obviously, you know, crop height. But it can also help some on maturity. So those are kind of some general rules of thumb just to kind of keep in mind as the season progresses. And then probably the last thing is just, you know, get out there as timely as you can with your harvest dates, you know, at preferably about 60% open bowl before that first, you know, big freeze really hits.
I think the maybe one of the last areas we can cover here. I know you spend a lot of time on soil health. I saw a headline in the last week, and I don't even recall where it was from. I want to say maybe the New York Times or the Washington Post, talking about the dramatic loss of soil and the depletion of soil. And was really taken from a perspective from somebody who doesn't really understand farming. But their point was, we're going to wake up someday and we're not going to have any soil left. Now, I don't know that that's really the case here, but how important is soil health and not just for this year, but for years to come?
Well, I mean, it's very important, Tony, that we do definitely keep that in mind. You know, with soil health and practices that help promote soil health, What a lot of people don't realize is how diverse our growing situations are. So like in the, you know, the Delta and eastward in the Cotton Belt, you know, they get enough rainfall to, you know, grow cover crops, you know, every year without a problem, because obviously cover crops need water as well. As you get kind of I-35 west, that cover crop situation, you know, gets a little bit trickier and needs to be made on a year by year basis. But so, you know, that in a low rainfall area gets a little bit trickier when it comes to cover crops. Now, I think something, you know, that we could do, and this is a learning curve for everyone, as they implement it, but, you know, I think there's definitely opportunities in reduced tillage systems, that will help keep our soil in place. And I know out in West Texas this year with, you know, there was a lot more standing stalks and things like that I've seen in the past. And anything that will slow that wind down, in y'all situations, usually wind, anything that will slow that wind down helps keep that soil in place. And all those things help promote, you know, soil health long term. But obviously, you know, growers have to remain profitable in the short term as well. They can't just, soil health doesn't matter if they're not, you know, they can't keep, if they can't remain profitable. So it's a gradual process that hopefully we're going to be working toward, you know, throughout the U.S., including the Cotton Belt.
Well, and I think it's a great segue to wrap the conversation up with Cotton Incorporated and how we can keep up with the research you're doing and others within Cotton Incorporated. Where can we find that?
Yeah, so Tony, we have a lot of information on the Cotton Cultivated webpage, cottoncultivated.com. Obviously, we work closely with all the research and extension folks, you know, in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, and a lot of their webpages also house a lot of that information. And, you know, if there's specific questions that come up, I would be happy to visit with people, you know, as well about the, you know, any of these topics or other things related to cotton production.
Again, you can find more on the Cotton Cultivated website or just simply go to cottoninc.com. That's cottoninc.com. That's where you'll find Dr. Galen Morgan, Director of Ag Research with Cotton Incorporated, on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Dr. Galen Morgan with Cotton Incorporated.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Learn more about Cotton Incorporated online, cotton,
www.success.inc.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's been said defense wins championships, but in farming, playing defense doesn't pencil out. When growing cotton, you'll score big when you cut your input cost on seed and have the flexibility to apply multiple modes of action. Growing conventional cotton puts you on the offense because at the end of the season, you'll catch and delete your cotton, which helps save 50% or more on your seed costs next year. Find out why more farmers are going conventional and winning big. Call Brownfield Seed or go online, brownfieldseed.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Oklahoma State livestock economist Darrell Peel.
We've seen some regions with a little bit of improvement. Central Oklahoma, one of those areas that has received some rain. So kind of around the edges, we've whittled at the drought a little bit, but the conditions are still, in general, very bad, sort of at record levels for this time of the year, whether you look at range and pasture conditions or just look at the drought monitor in general. And so, and at this point in time, we're far enough into the growing season that producers, I think, really now have to sort of look at the reality that we're just not going to make the pastures and the hay that we normally do. And so we could actually see, more impacts here in the next few weeks. In fact, we may have had the beginnings of it this last week. The most recent weekly data on cow slaughter showed a sharp increase in beef cow slaughter. Now, it's a little early to tell whether that's just a weekly, volatility or whether that's a little bit more of a trend, but it's certainly something we'll be watching as we go forward.